For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Hey, Conan, what are you doing over there?
You're right, Mr. Raybon. Hair growth products do come with side effects.
Conan, like what are you doing over there?
Let me finish reading, jack off. Like impotence, rectal leakage, and sometimes iron deficiency, but there are those willing to risk the chance to obtain a full head of hair.
Oh, Raybon, rectal leakage? What are you talking about? Give me that.
What the hell?
Wait, this is Retail Space by Raul Garcia, a book?
Yes, a book. What, don't think I can read?
I didn't say that.
All right, well, I can read it on your face. Nothing?
What's this book about?
It's a juxtaposition, tremendous word for Latino, of aliens in outer space to humans working in the retail industry.
What?
Let's put it like this. You ever work a customer service job?
Well, I've had to fill in helping out at Sapphire's. The staff was short, so.
Well, imagine if you had to live your life every day working for a retail store that was like the military, having to help rude customers, dealing with a manager that has it in for you because you're chatting up his girl, giving you all the shit jobs. Now imagine you and all the rest of those people were weird-looking aliens in outer space, and you should know about Martians in outer space because you actually threw that idea in WCW.
Right, this is interesting. I wonder what alien life is like.
You want to know more?
Well, you can't stop there. That's like giving a guy your finisher in a match and cutting the commercial break. Hey.
Give me that. Go get a copy of your own and don't ever take a book out of my hands again.
Well, I'll just get one of my own. Where'd you get it, Conan?
Yeah? Tell him where to find it, Joe. Boom.
With over 10-plus years of working in the retail industry, Raul Garcia puts his experiences and issues that he has with the retail industry in a humorous book that many can relate to. You can find Retail Space in either paperback or Kindle format on Amazon. Just go to the Amazon search bar and enter Retail Space, R-E-T-A-I-L-S-P-A-C-E, Retail Space by Raul Garcia. Check it out on Amazon now.
Well, a simple Amazon would have worked.
That is true, but if you want to get a good read, check out Raul Garcia's book, Retail Space. Boom.
Okay, so Larry posted a tweet. So Pro Wrestling Torch tweeted that details emerge on the CM Punk and Jack Perry backstage altercation with multiple versions. So then Larry quote tweeted this and said, he put Pink, he mistyped instead of Punk. Pink literally is a dude who got money, power, and trained enough in fighting to fuck dudes up. But not like win fights with real tough dudes. He's like a bouncer at a college bar. I respect it so much. All right? So I replied to that tweet with, I mean, if your wins are over Jack Perry and the Jackson brothers, are you sure that garners that much respect? Legitimate question, to be honest with you. Is that a legit question, Conan? If like you were bragging about winning a fight over Jack Perry and Matt and Nick Jackson, would you walk around boasting about that?
I would brag about it. Yeah. And you could throw in fucking Sheeta or what's her name, Riho or whatever. And I'd brag about that too.
People in the mailbag were saying in the YouTube comments that you were they thought it was funny that you mistook you got Riho and Sheeta mixed up. And honestly, I have them mixed up too. I couldn't. Next to each other. It's about a 78% chance that I would get the two of them correct. Right.
Right.
Next is from Cesar.
Here's and kind of an indictment on them. These girls have been there, I think, years. Right.
Right.
Yep.
I don't know who the fuck they are. I'm not sure which is which.
Right. Yeah. I'm not either.
Well,
Sheeta's a really tiny one, I think, right?
No.
Rio's a really tiny
one. Rio's a really, really small one that looks like a little girl. Yeah.
Right. Rio's listed at 5'1". Sheeta's listed at 5'4" and a half.
Jesus. That's pretty funny. She's not 5'1". There's no way that girl's 5'1". Next is from Cesar Canete.
I saw her backstage. She's pretty tiny.
Yeah. So, just a question for both Disco and Conan regarding Cody Rhodes. Hi, Disco and Conan. I just want to ask y'all if you think Cody Rhodes should go back to AEW after his contract expires in 2025. I think he should, because the man is getting buried in WWE, and I think it's because Vince has a grudge against him for helping create AEW. He had a great return to the company early last year, the greatest comeback from injury early this year. He won the Royal Rumble and got buried by Roman at this year's WrestleMania. People are saying after the match that he'd win the title at SummerSlam, but that never happened. I don't see him winning any of the world titles next year either because of the ascension of Eli Drake and Dominic Mysterio, and I see them being world champions next year instead of Cody. Bron Breakker and Austin Theory are other wrestlers I see becoming champions around that time, so Cody Rhodes is pretty much the odd man out of the world title picture. I think going back to AEW in 2025 would be the best thing for him to do because he's lost in the shuffle right now and will be from the time his contract is up. What are your thoughts? Cesar, Cesar, you're an idiot.
Okay, right. So I was going to say the same thing, bro. You need to inform yourself before you speak about the business. Number one, the guy's making millions of dollars, was in WrestleMania, has his own bus, has who knows how many fucking perks, is a top guy. So he loses to the top guy in WrestleMania and he's getting buried?
He just beat
you don't know nothing about the business, my friend.
Brock Lesnar is the de facto number two guy in that company. Will we agree on that?
Right.
He just beat the number two guy in the company.
Right.
So it's like,
The guy who stopped Undertaker's streak. Yeah.
Right, these wrestling fans, some of them are just like, maybe these guys like this just started watching wrestling and those are questions.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, right. We won't berate you too much, but if you've been watching wrestling for a while, you deserve to be rating. If not,
Yeah.
We'll recuse ourselves.
All right. This guy's suspended.
Already? You haven't even read the letter.
Because I'm going to read you the name.
All right.
The Nabisco Chinferno. All right. Which is a shot at me. So we're suspending the guy for taking a shot at me with his email tag. It's from subject is Kenny Omega and all his friends. Hey guys, love the show. I'm excited to hear the pay-per-view review for All Out. My question for the three of you is a simple one. If Kenny Omega really just playing out there with his friends like Cornette has been saying for years, his matches seem to have a semblance of storyline. For the past year, he's been stuck in tag teams and trios, and AEW is just wasting a main event talent. Their match got little to no reaction from a packed London crowd. No one cared when Takeshita won, which should have been a big moment for him. JR in commentary was so sickened by the lack of rules in the slop shop that was this match. He couldn't help crapping all over it. Is that true, Joe? Did you watch this? I heard that JR was burying the refs a lot.
I watched like
everybody, bro. He had some really good lines. Yeah,
he did.
I watched like the first half, and to be honest, and to agree with this guy's email, you know, obviously Kenny and everyone. Okay,
the email's not done. I just want to know that specifically.
Yeah.
And Kota Ibushi, this is a guy that wrestling fans are claiming is so great. I see a fat, pudgy guy who does nothing exceptional. What say you guys? P.S. It was obvious after Jack Perry said this is real glass in his match with the camera that CM Punk was not going to be happy after the previous reports. Obviously, I know in the 90s it would have been handled like men with their fists. But nowadays, how would you guys navigate everyone being so in their feelings? Nabisco Fever reigns supreme. Nabisco Fever, Billings, Montana. Nabisco Fever suspended 1 week.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because one of my bosses at work calls me Nabisco.
why is that?
Because it's like disco Nabisco rhymes, you know? Nabisco. Like, how many things end with I-S-C-O that you could actually say out loud? You know, not a lot. Well, first of all, stuff like this was happening very similar, except the guy that was cutting the promos in front of the camera for everybody was Scott Steiner. And nobody would say anything to him until finally one guy had enough of it because he was burying the guy's wife on in front of the world, and Diamond Dallas Page stepped up to him and almost got his eyes gouged out. But like, it's different. Like Jack Perry, if that was Scott Steiner doing that, I doubt that CM Punk and him would have had a confrontation after the match. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Or Rick Steiner,
right? It's like, you know, the fact this was Jack Perry doing it, but for Jack Perry, that's kind of a pooky move by Jack Perry too. You know, it's not very
Rick Rude.
Right.
No, exactly. It was, but like I said, he's probably thinking this motherfucker ain't my boss. You know what I'm saying? Tony pays me, not him, you know, because that would have been our attitude. If some wrestler said, don't do that, I would have been like, does Eric know this shit or Kevin Sullivan?
Yeah,
I mean, who's running this bitch?
Said. Yeah, who?
Right.
According to who, you know, who the fuck are you?
So, right. So that's probably what he's thinking. Yeah.
It's like, well, Chris Daniels isn't here because I sent him home. I'm talent relations. Yeah,
and who knows? Like,
really?
Who knows? It was shocking to me that maybe he's friends with the Young Bucks and Hangman and that crew. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, they should do in Punk from now on. Hire Craig O'Malley. Okay. Shadow Punk. Come to the show. Put them in their own room. Leave them in the room until it's time to come to the ring and do the thing. Go back in the room and then leave the show with it. And he's just Craig O'Malley the whole time. Would you think that? Would you do that, Conan? Do you think that would work?
Yeah, O'Malley and Fairplay.
Johnny Fairplay, right?
Didn't he work for him?
Yeah, Fairplay.
Well, he worked for Roddy Piper. He worked for Piper, right?
Richard Piper, yeah, where he was Piper's handler
after O'Malley.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so George Kittle from the San Francisco 49ers.
Not the 49ers, yeah. I don't think that's him.
The subject is missed opportunity. Hi, guys. Love the reviews. I love what you guys do. I try to catch all that I can in my limited free time. I really enjoyed All Out and thought they made my boy Penta look as strong as he could possibly be in a match with that much chaos. So that I was happy about. My question is, do you think it was a wasted opportunity with how they just randomly threw a Santana Ortiz and a Rey Fénix injury angle without any buildup? And speaking of disappointments, how disappointing was the conclusion of the MJF Cole matchup? Should they have capitalized on their biggest pay-per-view while the angle was hot? Thanks, and that's from George. First of all, we talked about this last week with Santana Ortiz when we did the show review. Okay, yes, it was rushed.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You couldn't have made it mean less, honestly, you know? But, bro, let's be honest. They announced the Wembley show, okay? And, you know, immediately there was a polarizing response. It was like, oh, this is going to – why are they doing this? But a lot of us were thinking like, hey, this could be a really big show. I think Tony was scared that they wouldn't sell a bunch of tickets, okay? So they didn't really treat the show until a bunch of tickets started gotten sold, and they realized, wow, this is going to be a really big show. And the next thing you know, it's like 3 weeks away. And it's like, well, shit, we need to put this on pay-per-view. And we need to, like, build some angles. So like, because it's literally right around the corner because, you know, they announced this thing and the buzz kind of grew, but the booking towards the show didn't really merit, like building towards a big show. And they just rushed a lot of stuff at the end to try to make it mean more. And that's, I think, what we got out of the show. It's just it was bigger than they thought it would be. They had to rush the booking. And it kind of came across as like the booking of this was rushed, and it was kind of like, you know, bro, like it looks like this was bigger than they imagined. And you had stories of like cars weren't there to pick up the talent, like CM Punk. It's just like, you know, there's a lot of negative press coming out of them running their first ever really huge big show, and the story coming out of it is kind of like it was kind of too big for them. They kind of had missed opportunities at this first show. That they should obviously capitalize on next year. You learned your lessons, you know. But like, bro, if you're gonna have a show with 80,000 people, the build needs to start like 3 months out. Like this is like a SummerSlam, you know. Like the SummerSlam build, the WrestleMania build starts months out, you know. And like that they should definitely do that going forward. Would you agree with that, Conan?
You know, at the end of the day, they'd already sold 80,000 tickets or whatever it was, and Phoenix got hurt, so they had to put somebody in his place. And, you know, but they did a really bad job with Santana and Ortiz, I thought. And, you know, they'd already sold tickets, so it didn't matter who they put at the end. Their go-home show, at least they did a good job of, you know, pointing fingers towards All In, but they should have been doing that from a long time ago. But they're still, you know, they're still learning, bro. You know, they're still in the learning process, and there's a lot of things that they have to tighten up, you know.
Tony,
what up?
Can you believe we've had 7 months without an NFL game?
Yep.
Yeah, it was crazy. Well, good thing that's over, because NFL is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving you a can't-miss offer for week one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you just bet $5 on any NFL game. That's ridiculous. So DraftKings is hooking up everyone with game day greatness. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. So download the app now and use code K100 to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly for just betting $5. That's code K100. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting sports partner of the NFL. And the crown is yours. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resorts in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. ccdkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming sources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility deposit restrictions apply. DraftKings is back, and I'm ready. I'm all in on it. Bro, it's an incredible betting app. It's got tons of options. I mean, it's awesome.
If you're into sports gambling, if you're into the NFL returning and all that, and you want to grab some bonus bucks from DraftKings, download the DraftKings Sportsbook right now and use the code K100 to sign up, and you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly, as long as you bet $5 or more.
And the great thing is you can bet right now on baseball. You know, we got college football and pro football coming up. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code K100. Boom.
Next one is from John Roddy, and the subject is Sunny Kiss. I just finished All In, and it was mostly packed with multiple person matches, not assuming gender for reasons you'll find out. It really showed us as crazy stacked the AEW roster is, but at the same time, what made it even crazier was the sheer amount of contracted AEW talent who weren't there. has to be what, 30, 50 contracted AEW names not there? My question for K100 is, why is Sonny Kiss still under contract to AEW? When's the last time Sonny was on TV? Has Sonny Kiss ever had an angle, storyline, or even a feud, and during the entire existence of AEW? And why is Sonny still under contract with some, well, someone like Brian Pillman Jr. was released? I think Brian Pillman Jr. asked to be released. But bro, Tony just signs all these guys. I mean, like, he's not... obviously, the money isn't a big deal to him, because WWE would be like how many talent on that show, Conan, have you watched over a month period of time that you say, okay, what is this guy making? If we cut this guy, but you know, like, if you could trim $3 million off your salary, okay, which shouldn't be that difficult to do at this company. Are there like could you easily do that at AEW if everybody's making six figures there, by the way? I think the minimum contract is $100,000.
No, they have lower contracts than that.
They do have lower contracts than that. I was told that if you get signed full time, you're making six figures. That's not true.
That could be true, but I know people that are not making six figures. But so, yeah, they might not be under full time contracts, right? So I didn't ask the particulars.
I don't know
why Sonny Kiss is still under contract, exactly for why the guy said the reasons, not on TV, not used. What are you going to do with them, or what are you going to do with them?
I can tell you 1 million percent why he's on TV. And number one, he did have a storyline, because when fucking AEW Janela first started, he was in a storyline. And then later he was in another one with Janela. Okay. So the reason you have somebody like Sonny Kiss is because in our pussification of America, and everybody has to be the same, and, you know, woke culture and all this shit, everything from fucking Pizza Hut, the fucking Google, the fucking football teams and every movies, you got to have an LGBTQ character. You got to have a brother. You have to have the Latino and other, you know what I'm saying? And that's just the way it is.
Well, let me say this.
Remember when people were complaining when you were telling me that? Wait, remember when you were complaining to me, Disco, that, and I think it was that Will Washington guy that was like, yeah, African Americans only had so many time on TV.
Right, yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
all, right. Yeah, all the Mike brothers were going on. Yeah, that's right. What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, let me make this point, and maybe this is something to do with it, okay? Is that Sonny Kiss, by his own creativity, is portraying himself as a very flamboyantly gay character.
Right.
And like, if you're a channel surfer and you're watching that, you might be offended at the way professional wrestling is portraying gay people. Like this, like you're thinking like, well, I know a lot of gay people. They don't act like that. Like, this guy's acting flamboyantly gay. It's like almost like a parody of a gay character, you know?
Yeah, but he's doing a character, which I'm sure he's not going to make a.
I don't think he's doing a character.
I would think, well, then that's how he really is. What's the problem?
I've seen this guy backstage before. Okay, and he's like, hey, he's kind of very flamboyantly gay,
right?
Which is fine, but it's like, if you put that on TV, that's almost like a stereotype, a negative trope of a gay character. People could perceive it that way, is what I'm saying.
Perceive it as this is an act, and it's a good act or it's a bad act. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
At the end of the day, you know, if you're doing something with a company that's like we have exóticos on our roster, you know, the gay characters, but in Mexican, they call it exóticos. You know, there ain't a lot of brothers in Mexico, but, you know, we brought in Rich Swann a lot, Willie Max there a lot. You know, but we make sure that we, you know, women are not demeaned. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like, we check all the boxes for corporate sponsors, women, exóticos, you know, women aren't being bashed or belittled, you know, all the fucking too much blood. Plus, that's what gets us our sponsors.
And obviously, plus, there's an obviously different climate in Mexico where there's definitely not as PC as they are here. Like, you know, you have the police patrol. They're looking at that's right. offensive to, right. you know, to people in Mexico. Right. Like, hey, this is our culture. It's been around for years. Like, Lucha Libre wrestling is ingrained in culture, and the exoticos have been around for years. We're not going to have a bunch of Gen Zers come in and say that's offensive. Like, try to like
I'll give you an example. ADR, Marty Scurll, just the same two names, have mega heat in the U.S. Mega.
Right.
They have zero heat in Mexico.
Right. They don't judge as much in Mexico. It's more.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it, bro. We all fucked up. You know, he fucked up. Did he go to jail? No, he didn't. Okay. So what are we talking about?
Right.
Punishing a guy because you're mad at him at something that you didn't even see.
Right.
Get you the know? Fuck out of here, bro. That's the beautiful thing about that country. That's like their mindset.
Actually, we just fucked up here because, and I'm sure you guys are very concerned to know this, that we misgendered Sunny Kiss, who is referred to as she.
Really?
My bad. My bad.
And also, I want to point out. The Kayla
I just
Hunter
call Kiss. Everybody. My new thing is I just call everybody non-binary. That way I don't insult nobody, I think.
You know the funniest thing about this, too, is that there are people that actually think I'm homophobic, all right? And I'm like, time out, guys, okay?
Right.
What's the first letter of the LGBTQ stand for?
L. Lesbian.
Lesbian. What does the G stand for?
Gay.
What does the B stand for?
Bi.
I work in a club where literally more than half of the people, probably 60 to 70% of the people that work there are LGB.
Bro, the people we hung out with, the people we hung out with was all that was, you know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm cool with
that's how it is, bro. If you're putting over something, you're a hater or you're a phobic, whatever you're talking about.
Exactly.
Plus, when it comes to Brian Pillman there, I want to give kudos to the K100 news team because it was reported on K100 last week that Brian Pillman signed with NXT, and now it's popping up on all the sites 5-6 hours ago. Brian Pillman signed with NXT, but we were first.
That's great.
Yeah, Joe, let me tell you
Brian Pillman needs to do. Brian Pillman could be a huge star instantly in the WWE if he does what his dad was going to do somehow that's figures a way to change himself
that would be the best.
Super Bowl. If he could pull that off, he's immediately a huge star. He's immediately all over mainstream television and news. He's immediately I would do that.
Okay, listen, you know what you just said? Because I would have never thought of that. That shows how way ahead of his time and how brilliant Brian Pillman was.
Brilliant.
Because he thought of that idea over 20 years ago.
And he got mad.
And I was like, what a great idea.
That's it. We got to bring Madden on to tell that story in detail again because that conversation is hysterical. Because he tried to get Madden to give
him his press pass. Yeah.
He wanted Madden to give him his press pass. He could do it.
That's great. That's fucking great. Yeah.
Like Madden would lose his job. But he's like, you got to make sacrifices, Madden. All right. Next is
how great was Brian, right?
Oh, it's awesome. Next is from Narsk Rigagig. And the subject is, will he? I'm listening to the new K100 right now, and it opened with the Jericho versus Ospreay promo battle from the most recent Dynamite at the time of this writing. In that, Ospreay mentioned that his New Japan deal is up in about 6 months. I think it's fair to say he's going to be joining AEW. My question is, what will he add? Conan says all the time their audience will love it, but that audience isn't growing. They've already got those fans. Should the plan be to be bringing on guys who may bring a new audience? What will Will bring as a full-time AEW guy? Well, let me tell Will Ospreay this. I doubt Will Ospreay listens to this podcast. Bro, you need to go to WWE. Your work is excellent. You look like $1 million. The style there won't break your body down. They'll teach you how to elongate your career. And bro, your promo, your talking ability is not that bad. But you're not going to learn how to do better promos at AEW. You're going to learn in the WWE system where they can produce cool videos of you and turn you into a superstar because you look the part. He should go to him going to AEW is just going to be another guy that Meltzer raves over his matches and he goes out there and kills himself and stuff. Bro, go to WWE if you want to be a big global star. You're not going to be a big global star at AEW because they have not figured out how to make these guys stars yet. You know? That'd be my advice to Will Ospreay. But if he's up in 6 months, he should absolutely go to WWE. He'd be perfect for that company. He's a perfect size. What is he, like 6'2", 225, 230? He's like, the guy looks like $1 million, you know? So, I don't know.
Yeah,
What do you think about it?
Just real quick, for some people that didn't have much experience with him, they recently found out that he's good on the mic, too. So, I don't think that's something.
You're not going to get a lot of mic time in AEW. You know, the same guys cut promos every week. Britt Baker. You're going to go to AEW, and literally Britt Baker is going to have more mic time than you have. All right? You go to WWE, bro, look at all the guys, the roughly your size you could be working with. You know, Seth, Roman. So, you know, bro, you could conceivably go there, and they could build you up to wrestle Roman Reigns.
He's only 30.
That's how good the guy is in the ring. He's young. He looks great. He can talk. His work is good. It just needs to tone it down and be safer and elongate his career. Bro, I don't know why, if he had the choice and was the same money, why you would not choose WWE. you know?
Bro, listen to this. About 12 years ago, I went to a PWG show. They don't seem to be as hot as they were before, right? Like, they don't have the same
buzz. All the talent got taken.
Got signed?
Pretty much, right. Yeah, pretty much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because the last two shows have been heavily Mexican talent.
Remember the, as long as back as you remember, bro, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were staples on that show. And they've been like at WWE now for like eight, 9 years, it seems like, you know? So, yeah.
Brian, yeah, a lot of
this
guys.
This is how long ago it was. His name was Kevin Steen on the Indies, but Kevin Owens used to tag with the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
He used to tag with the Young Bucks and PWG. And when Lucha Underground started, I went there. And I had recommended Brian Cage, Willie Mack. I wanted to do an LA trios with John Morrison and the fucking Young Bucks because they're all from LA. Bro, Lucha Underground had this guy that didn't know anything about the business. He was a lawyer and he called the Young Bucks and he offered them $250. So I called the Young Bucks and I'm like, yo, are you guys ready to go? And they're like, fuck that place. And I go, what happened? They go, yeah, they offered us $250. And I go, the guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. How much do you want? And they go, tell them if they want us to work with us, we want $2,500. And I said, for both of you? And he goes, no, each. Basically telling Lucha Underground to go fuck themselves. But I just, I don't know why I brought that thing up. But anyways, Ospreay has a built-in, oh, I met Ospreay in PWG. That's why I brought that story. And like 12 years ago, Disco, and I wanted him to come to Mexico. And he was like, oh, no, I'm with my girlfriend. I can't leave right now. But you could tell back then how talented he was. But he kind of has a built-in feud, even though it would be more for the hardcores, with Ricochet. Remember that match they had?
With everybody.
No, he could have great matches with a lot of people. Yeah. Very talented.
Conan.
Yo, what up?
Do you remember the classic physiques, like the old school bodybuilders of the golden era, like in Venice Beach in the 70s?
Yeah, like Frank Zane and Perigno and Arnold and Draper and all those guys.
Yeah, 50 years on, and we're still looking at those guys as a gold standard. And you know what's crazy? They didn't have creatine, pre-workout, fat burners, like a lot of the other popular supplements you see today. But one supplement, I did not know this, they all used was desiccated liver, because it's packed with amino acids for muscle growth, vitamins and minerals for health and immunity, but it's also proven to cause a huge increase in red blood cells, which means you recover quicker, have more endurance, and get better pumps. That is why I consider it a must for all these iconic bodybuilders. Our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition have just added desiccated liver from grass-fed cows to their world-class supplement lineup, but they've also gone a step further and introduced Essential Alpha, a grass-fed beef organ complex. Pound for pound, beef organs are the most nutritious food available, particularly for active men. That's a shoot, because liver is the healthiest thing you can eat. And Legacy believes in celebrating masculinity and maximizing male potential. Legacy, as you know, is owned and operated by Nick on probation, Aldis. And let me tell you, I talked to him about this, and he is super excited to finally be able to bring this to the market. And they've been working on the formula for a while, and he's been really singing the praises of this stuff. And can you ever think of a time when he wasn't ever in shape? I mean, if you're looking for a perfect supplement to help you build muscle, have more energy, and boost your immune system, and bring out your inner alpha, then you need to try Essential Alpha. Available right now at LegacySubs.com, and always use the code K100. Get you 10% off and to help support this show. That's LegacySupps.com and use the code K100 at checkout. And I'm a big fan of liver, and I'm definitely going to start using this product.
The great thing about Legacy Subs, which, boy, they've been with us that long because people keep buying their shit, or if not, they wouldn't be throwing no ads on our show. People like their products. We, all of us, use their products. They have everything. Anything that you can imagine, the list is too long, but anything to help you with your brain power, pre-workout, protein drinks. I mean, they, from the A to the Z. And the great thing for the females out there, they have a supplement line just for females, which is curated by his wife, Mickey James. So check either one of them out, you know, get your supplements on Legacy Subs. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is an interesting one from Narsk Rigigig, and the subject is, will he? I'm listening to the new K-100 right now, and it opened with the Jericho versus Ospreay promo battle. Oh, wait, I just read this. Hang on. Oh, wait, did I...
You're Michael Singh.
Is this the same one I just... Okay, hang on. Did I read this whole email? I did. Oh, I missed the line. It said, Conan says all the time their audiences will love it, but the audience isn't growing. That's the thought that, like, you know, Conan doesn't actually say that all the time. Like, you know, I mean, he understands the audience isn't growing.
But,
like,
quite a bit.
Next one. So Michael R. Singh. Subject is tribalism in wrestling. Dear Conan, Disco, and Joe, what's up from Jakarta, Indonesia? When my friend's family and I were growing up in Toronto watching both WWE and WCW, there's never any rivalries or tribalism with the different companies and everyone I knew who watched. We just enjoyed watching wrestling. Channel flipping between NWO promos and DX antics was just as fun all around, and we enjoyed it. So why do you think people now are so divided when it comes to wrestling companies? Why can't we be critical of both and enjoy both? Thank you for all the work you do. I never watch actually weekly wrestling programs anymore, and I count on your show reviews to keep me up to date. Greatly appreciated. You can blame that squarely on the shoulders of the dirt sheet guys that talked about the war, you know, between AEW and the developmental show NXT. And the problem was you could definitely see a bias of the dirt sheets towards AEW because it was like, you know, a lot of the guys that they liked, and they've been, you know, that's where it started. I mean, it's kind of obvious. The media bias towards AEW, and that's where the tribalism comes from.
There was tribalism in the 90s, like ECW fans, fuck WCW and blah, blah, blah. But when you go to Nitro, who would be there? Everyone you see at the arena, you know? So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting that Raw did a lower number this week than usual. And I think that maybe that's enough. As many people that watched that 5-hour pay-per-view the night before were probably just like washed from wrestling. Like, you know, they didn't want to watch another 3-hour show the next night. So you see, there's a lot of crossover fans, but, you know, it is weird how they cover this. What do you think, Conan?
I don't even know what the question was.
Put your mic down.
Like,
I don't even know what the question was.
Why is there tribalism in wrestling now? Like, AEW fans hate WWE and so on.
Why are people so divided when it comes to wrestling companies? Why can't we just be critical of both and enjoy both?
Yeah, I agree with that. Bro, it's been around for a while since WCW and WWE.
Not really.
There was a little bit, right?
But there wasn't like a hate for one show and hate. Both of the shows were good. And it was like, let's flip back and forth, you know?
All right.
And then the companies were competing against each other. The fans weren't. You know, the companies were competing for all of the fans, and all the fans liked both the shows. A lot of them did. And you were trying to get them to watch your show more than the other show, you know? So, I don't know.
Well, I think right now there was a you know, a lot of people left for AEW because they didn't like what WWE was giving them. And it was quite a bit of them. And that's how they were able to make AEW grow. And I think that hatred, you know, or dislike, or whatever the word would be, now has turned into fan against fan. You know, like, right, we have the superior product.
Next is from Neil Hayes. Subject is Eric Bischoff, Wrestling Genius or Curse. Hi, guys. Just want to thank you, Conan and Disco. I want to thank you, Conan and Disco, for the years of entertainment. Me being a teenager at the time, it was great to watch Nitro on a Friday night. I live in the UK on TNT. Love the talent on Nitro and the sound of that WCW ring when someone took a bump. We were lucky as the Monday Night Wars were never head-to-head in the UK, and after Nitro finished, it was great to switch over to watch Raw and Sky Sports and compare them both. I apologize if you have been asked this before, but does Eric Bischoff get too much credit for being a genius? I know he has a scapegoat in Vince Russo for WCW and TNA, but Vince had some good TV moments, especially some bad ones. Eric holds himself in high esteem, but WCW failed under his watch. TNA declined severely, and he had a terrible stint in WWE on a few occasions. I'm guessing he's the one who brought Hulk into TNA, which just added whopping costs and made him a major part of the booking team. Plus, he wrote himself into too many segments. Is Eric just bad at this stuff, or did he make the mistake of letting his friends play around too much in all the companies? I know Greg Gagne is known as a liar, but I'm guessing some of what he said about Eric is true. He just steals from others and blames others when it goes wrong. Could I have your thoughts, please, on Eric's documented path of destruction, why he seemed to try and rebuild WCW under the TNA banner? Thanks again for the many years of entertainment. My eldest has gotten into wrestling and has been showing him all the old nitros. Best of luck in the future, and thank you for producing and co-hosting the show. So, Niall, I want to ask you a question. Did Eric ever do anything good? You sound like here you seem like he everything he did was terrible. There's a thing called 83 weeks. Okay, WCW crushed the WWE for 83 weeks on TV. Like nobody's how many other wrestling promoters can say for an entire year's worth of television we outdid Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
zero.
Right.
Bro, come on. Is it that Eric is the second best promoter in my lifetime. Vince McMahon is the number one. Eric was number two, and probably Eric would have done been even more successful if Vince McMahon was not around. The WWE was not around because we did some good TV at WCW. You know, I just think that this whole thing, but people will always just they focus on people's careers, okay? And literally everything that they talk about their careers is all the just the negative things in their career. These people had a lot of moments of brilliance in their careers. Nobody likes to talk about that. It's really, and it's a lot of these modern wrestling fans that do that, you know, because like people that grew up and stuff, and everything like, you know, they're not as down on them as the modern wrestling fan is, because all these people do is just talk about the past and how, oh, this sucked and this, bro, there was tons of good stuff back then, way better than the stuff these days, you know, holistically, you know, so I don't know. I just, when I read emails like this, I just wonder if a guy like this reads too much dirt sheet stuff and, you know, just his negativity. Do you agree, Conan? Am I a little off base here?
Yeah, no, I mean, Eric had good things, bad things, you know, good things. I mean, he hired all those people from WWE. He fucking went head to head against fucking,
Here's WWE. Something.
He brought in all the fucking cruiserweights, which revolutionized the sport. Yep.
Here's a funny thing. I think Tony Khan had made this, Tony Khan had made this statement or something, him or Meltzer, somebody was talking about how that, you know, I'm not gonna make the same mistakes that basically, Eric went and signed a bunch of the WWE cast offs for too much money. And it's like, yeah. And he took those signings and they obviously had a lot of worth left in them because he took all those guys and turned around and beat Vince for a year. You know, people look at that like it's funny, but they look at it as a negative. Well, he signed all these guys when they were on the lap. Yeah, and he beat Vince with those same guys. He took all of Vince's guys and beat Vince with those guys. I mean, I don't know. It's like people try to spin it as a negative. I'm like,
well, here's the thing.
I was like, go ahead.
And this is, again, no shade. He's done the same thing. He's taken a lot of guys from WWE, you know? Unlike Eric, he hasn't been able to use them and weaponize them to beat Vince yet.
Right.
The only show was when NXT was against them head to head at the beginning. Remember,
right?
But they weren't bringing in no star power.
Right.
Fuck, they're bringing more star power now than they were before.
Right, bro. They did like 700,000 a couple weeks ago. Dominic, somebody did it. I was reading a thing. When Dominic's on the show, the numbers are up like 100,000 to 150,000.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Bro, they had their highest rating on NXT in 2 years when he was there.
Yeah. Unbelievable, isn't
it? Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And isn't it funny how we like for like the longest time we would always just say, "Boy, he looks so uncomfortable out there." They give him cheesy lines, and then all of a sudden, you know what? You should take somebody like that and turn them heel, and you can unleash character. Like, what do they do? They turn him heel, and he's just like he's the best heel, bro. Yep. Literally every character that you're stuck with right now that isn't going anywhere, bro, just flip the switch on the guy to turn. Turn him heel or turn him, or if he's a heel, it's not going to turn him baby face and see if it's
not,
right. Yeah,
right.
You should do that with everybody.
Because a lot of times when you're a baby face and you're not getting over, people start to boo and you're like, fuck, man, when I turn heel, I'm going to fucking go off, you know? And so, like Jack Perry, look, he's been a good heel so far. You know what I'm saying? I still think he's missing the boat by not going up with that Anna Jay girl.
Right.
That's heat.
Yeah. Next is from Nick Sabatello. The subject is Genius in the Sky. You guys need to. Oh God. You guys need.
Coming.
Okay. The tone of this email is going to get this guy suspended. Okay. You guys need to take a closer look at Io Sky. She has more charisma than you give her credit for. She's about it. That wasn't a question. suspend me. Boom. That's Nick from Las Vegas. How long do you want the suspension to last?
Tony came in here with a lot of attitude, didn't he?
Yeah. And he said, suspend. That wasn't a question. He has no question. He says, that wasn't right. a question. Suspend yeah. me. Boom. So how many?
We don't take, you know what? We don't. And he's from Vegas. Does that help him at all or no?
No, not at all.
Nothing. Okay.
You're fired. Let's give him. And in case your ears are fucked, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Let's do a month for that guy.
Yeah. I like that.
Next one's right from
K100 with Conan and Disco is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Conan.
What up?
I think you would agree that sometimes in life we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. So trust yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. Now, you in the past have had mental health issues. Has therapy helped you with that?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with a mental health issue at 16 by a psychiatrist. So there was kind of a stigma if you were a male back then to have mental health or talk about it. But the great thing about going to one of these specialists is a lot of stuff that I had was from my childhood. And, you know, they find you, they help you find the root of your problems. They help you navigate through them. I highly recommend a mental health therapist if you're having any problems, issue with mental health. Just talking to somebody sometimes and them having you see stuff that maybe you haven't figured out yet will help you get through a lot of your issues.
I just want to say real quick that I've, you know, gone back and forth as far as therapy for a while. Like I, you know, had to try it in my teens, similar to Conan, and I didn't really like it. So, but recently, you know, people have advised me, check it out. And I actually found BetterHelp before they ever worked with this show. And if you're someone like me that isn't necessarily thrilled about going to the therapist's office, or with BetterHelp, you get matched up with a therapist that matches your needs, and you can communicate with them via text or video call or phone call, anything you want. So it's just very convenient. I've worked with two different guys and they've both been excellent. So I would
highly recommend. What did you find out about yourself that you didn't know before that you've applied and it has helped you feel more mentally fit?
You'll like this one. Other people's praise is too important to me, so I got to work on that. Right. You believe that?
No, not at all. That doesn't sound like any. Right. Yeah.
All right. So, anybody out there, if you're thinking of starting therapy, as you've heard, right. Joe's trying to give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So, let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/K100 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/K100 for 10% off your first month. Give them a try.
Call a therapist. Get your mental health right. Boom.
From Greg Treville, the subject is Bray Wyatt, VK Wall Street. Hello, guys. Love the show. Love what you guys do. Keep on keeping it 100. My question is, now that Bray Wyatt has unfortunately passed, do you think this is the true end of the horror slasher gimmick in wrestling? Obviously, there will always be some sort of mystic gimmicks in wrestling. These guys like The Undertaker have made it a popular part of the business. But do you think we'll see another unstoppable, demonic, undead force in wrestling? Is this the end of Uncle Howdy? Do you think we'll ever see Uncle Howdy Bo Dallas again? Also, Conan was watching. Somebody said that Santana looked like Bo Dallas when he came out last week. He did kind of, to be honest with you. Also, Conan was watching an old U.S. title match with himself against Brave Father, VK Wall Street, a.k.a. IRS. What are your memories of wrestling him? Would love to hear if Disco has been in the ring with Mike Rotunda as well. Thank you, guys. That's Treeman from Danville, Pennsylvania. I think I wrestled Mike Rotunda one time. But that's it, you know. And I don't think we'll see the anything like – I don't know if we'll see a – I mean, a wrestling can still have a supernatural-type gimmick, you know, if done correctly. But, you know, I don't think we'll see one for a while. Any comments?
He was a very quiet guy when I was around him, very nice guy. Excellent to work with, you know, just fucking use. I mean, he's old school. Everything he did looked logical. He worked safe. He was great. You know, I worked with him in a WCW. Yeah.
Next one is from
Daddy Mac.
Daddy Mac. Subject is Edge AEW. Greetings, Conan, Disco, and Joe. My question is about Edge possibly going to AEW. How much of a possibility do you guys think it is that he'll wind up getting paid more than WWE has and he ends up signing? How would you book him if you went to AWA, AEW? And would you call up and tell me why Corner isn't the perfect name. Possibly book him against my boy Daddy Magic, his first match. P.S. I hear Conan talk about the Commander hate, and I think it stems from Jim Cornette calling him unbearable and hating on him for every match he's in. While I don't really listen to Cornette, I will say he's taking an hour to balance on the ropes before he does every move is annoying, and the fact that he still has trouble landing some of the moves flush and has no character gimmick isn't helping him. Commander or what? Of what? Thanks as always. Keep up the great work. Daddy Mac, Mac Daddy. I don't think Edge is going to AEW, to be honest. He might because he's friends with the FTR.
Christian.
He lives in Asheville with those guys. He trained with those guys in his comeback.
Right.
You know?
He's also good friends with that dastardly Canadian, Scott Tuggles D'Amore. Christian is also friends with Scott Tuggles D'Amore.
So he'll be going
to him. Dastardly one. Could be.
I don't know. I don't know why he'd go to AEW. Well, you know, he's got the same schedule.
Check's big.
Well, yeah, but but look at what he's getting paid and the amount of times he worked in WWE. Are they going to give him a better deal than that?
That was a good run he had, too. They treated him real good.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.